The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here's your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with Dr. Stephanie Stevenson about integrative medicine and menopause. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to scripture to give us perspective on every discussion focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. This week in the news, we have some interesting information about common household chemicals that may not be so good for our health. Turns out the World Health Organization just released a joint report with the United Nations Environment Program, and this report is titled State of the Science of Endocrine Disrupting Chemicals. And that just means that they should be banned because they're not good for health. What kind of health problems can they cause? Well, these chemicals as a group have been linked to such problems as breast cancer, prostate, thyroid cancer, nervous system defects, and get this, attention deficit disorder. Boy, wouldn't it be great to figure that one out? Rather than giving you a list of the chemicals and quizzing you on them, I'm going to give you a summary of what we should do to avoid these chemicals. So basically, here we go. As much as possible, buy and eat organic produce and free-range organic foods to reduce exposure to pesticides and fertilizers. Store your food and beverages in glass rather than plastic. That's going to be hard for many of us, self-included. So glass is safer than plastic. Use only natural cleaning products in your home. That's a big one. Avoid artificial air fresheners, dryer sheets, fabric softeners, or other synthetic fragrances like those, those camouflaged fresheners. I don't want to name any brand names on the air. I think you know what I'm talking about. Replace your nonstick pots and pans with ceramic or, once again, glass, which is safer. And here's my favorite. Limit your use of over-the-counter and prescription medications as much as possible. Why? Because drugs are chemicals too. And they leave residues that accumulate in our body over time. Imagine that. I've been saying that for years. Finally, a study supports it. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Dr. Stephanie Stevenson is a medical doctor, and she is currently the clinical director of integrative medicine at the University of Cincinnati Center for Integrative Health and Medicine in Cincinnati, Ohio. Welcome, Dr. Stevenson, to Your Holistic Health.
Hi, thank you.
Well, we got to set the stage by briefly sharing with us, please, what is menopause and how long does it typically last?
Menopause, if you took it just its literal translation, it would be a pause in menses. But to be more accurate, is an actual permanent cessation of menses. It's a permanent loss of ovarian follicular function. So we're born with as many eggs as we're going to have our entire life, and as soon as we're born, that aging process begins. And menopause is that time where, you know, 1 year of absent menses. And that can happen usually around age 52, but there can be a range of, you know, from 42 to 56 is the typical range.
You know, I'm hearing a lot more about earlier and earlier menopause, which I don't know. Are you concerned about that?
I don't know. I mean, I guess whenever there's a change, you sort of wonder, but it would be less of a time where you're exposed to estrogen. So I don't know.
Maybe it's better in some regards and not so good in others, like many things in life. Well, because we are a holistic show, I'm very curious, and I think this is an excellent area to pursue in terms of the application and the value of integrative medicine and practices and principles for the entire journey of women's health, but specifically for menopause, because it seems to be so problematic for so many. And yet it is really a journey. It's not just a slice of time. So why integrative medicine for menopause, Dr. Stevenson, and why now?
Well, I know integrative medicine is about looking at all aspects of health. So it's not just looking at physical health. It's looking at, you know, the factors related to emotional health, looking at social connectiveness, spiritual connectiveness, how someone exercises, how do they sleep, how do they handle stress, you know, what's going on with their job and how does that affect their health, how is the environment affecting their health. So it's really looking at all aspects of health and approaching it as such. As, you know, with menopause, you know, that's just part of the natural life cycle. It's a natural biological process. And it's not, even though we have a name for it, we have an ICD-9 code for it, it's not a disease. It's, again, a natural process. And to look at it like that, I mean, women have real symptoms that they will often suffer from, and it's addressing those things, but in the context of everything else.
You know, and I think that's a truly huge cultural shift in this country, even still today. I feel that many physicians are, as you say, perhaps treating this time of life or part of the journey as a disease, or the perception is that it's still more likened to a disease and it is a very natural part of the journey, and it's not really, you know, universally embraced. And in fact, I would challenge us to think about women that may preferentially choose, I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but for comfort and safety's sake, and ease of discussion, a female medical physician to help them through this time, or OBGYN to help them through this time, as opposed to a male, because somehow or other we can relate to each other better. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think people, I think often women seek out women physicians to see, because they understand that if they haven't gone through that, they are going to go through that, and their experience of that may be different, but, you know, that they are also a woman. I think many people come and seek out an integrative doctor, though, because of maybe a different focus, but also an increased amount of time spent with the physician. And I think in the conventional world, male or female providers, it's just not set up in a way where that patient's going to have the time that's really needed to discuss all these issues. It's going to be a very superficial approach, which then lends itself to a feeling on the provider side that they need to fix something, and then that often means a prescription, which may not be what that patient even wanted in the first place.
Now, you've dabbled in both worlds, which is why I just love your perspective. And really, what you're describing, this time-intensive integrative approach, is developing a relationship. And that then leads to trust. And that leads to intimacy, meaning emotional intimacy, perhaps even, if you will, spiritual intimacy, that you can open up that list of fears, maybe anxiety, issue, you know, book or box and tell all, which is what we want to know as practitioners. Of course, the more information that's disclosed, the more sustainable the gain for all sake. But, you know, hormones are hugely promoted. I mean, there are billboards out there. And I'm going to go back to natural, and I will share with my listeners, I am postmenopausal myself, and I have never in my life taken a hormone. I'm less than 1% of the population, and the reason that's important for you to hear is that I'm still here. I laugh, I carry on, and I have a meaningful life. Yes, it was a difficult part of the journey, but I approached it from an integrative perspective, and the power in the message today, we hope dearly, is heard by those of you who may be suffering and thinking, you know, hormones are my only option, or without hormones, I'm not going to be natural. Well, you're very natural if you do nothing.
Right.
With some wisdom. And we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. So, you know, taking this full circle of the integrative approach, I want to share that I think even if our bodies hurt, and they're not quite working the way they used to, from a spiritual perspective, remember that God doesn't make mistakes. He knows all, and He has a master plan that might be better than you can even imagine or see during this time. And I'm reminded of Psalm 139, and it says, I quote, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it," end quote. So Dr. Stevenson, can a woman actually ever heal in a mind-body sense from the symptoms of menopause or this time of life?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that healing is completely different than curing. I think the approach is different. I think cure implies that something is being done to you, and that symptom or illness or disease is then gone. Healing is, in my mind, very different. It may not mean that the symptom that you're having, be it hot flashes, goes away, but that you address it, again, in the bigger context of your life, and maybe you come up with other strategies where it's not bothersome, and that symptom actually promoted you to take steps in other directions of your life that actually made you more well. So I think it's thinking about it differently, thinking about healing versus cure.
And that, again, is a new concept for many, and it challenges our traditional thinking, both as the practitioner, the physician, as well as the patient or client. And the healers of this world for eons upon eons know that concept. And it's a place of peace. And it is because it invokes the entire part of the life cycle and journey, not just the bodily symptoms, if you will. We're going to take a quick break right now, and we're going to come back, Dr. Stevenson, and talk about the Massachusetts Women's Health Study and get your perspective on that.
Okay.
If you're just joining our show, this is Your Holistic Health. Tonight we're talking with Dr. Stephanie Stevenson, Clinical Director of Integrative Medicine at the University of Cincinnati Center for Integrative Health and Medicine, about menopause. We'll take that short break, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and tonight our guest is Dr. Stephanie Stevenson from the University of Cincinnati Center for Integrative Health and Medicine in Cincinnati, Ohio. So, Dr. Stevenson, there's some important research in menopause that we need to bring forward and talk about. And one of the key takeaways is from a study entitled the Massachusetts Women's Health Study. Can you briefly describe what was studied there and some of the results that are important for us to remember, please?
This was a longitudinal study of women in Massachusetts. It was a study that was published in 1995. And one of the main takeaways is really this idea not to over-medicalize menopause, that the vast majority of women who went through menopause during this time, during the study time, had positive or neutral attitudes toward menopause. I think there's this concept, like you were saying, with so much media attention on women taking hormones and sort of this pressure that if you want to keep your health, you need to take hormones, that you have this feeling as a woman who maybe hasn't gone through menopause and is thinking, what is this time going to bring? You sort of automatically think that it's going to be negative and that you're going to need to do something about it.
All right. So on a more specific level now, let's couple the information from that 1995 study, which is, you know, a little bit dated, but still very relevant, with some of the information that you gleaned when you went through the integrative fellowship with Dr. Andrew Weil, the famed Dr. Weil out in Arizona. And let's talk specifically about what approaches you might take now as an integrative medical physician with your clients for menopause.
Well, I think the core is really starting with food, with diet, what you're putting in your body. I really believe the adage, you are what you eat. And so it's looking at, are you eating whole foods or is your diet mostly manufactured and processed foods? And then taking a look at, how much sugar intake that you get with the variety of foods that you eat. Really talking to someone about what a whole grain really means, fruits and vegetables. If someone's eating fish, are they eating the fish that's going to give them the good omega-3 fatty acids? Are they getting trans fats in their diet and not knowing it, which is not good for health? So really taking a very detailed approach to nutrition. And then talking about movement as well, exercise. Bone is a concern going through sort of this perimenopausal time and after menopause, and things that you can do even beforehand in terms of walking and doing the exercise that increases bone strength. And then stress management is huge, and it's huge in all areas, not just menopause, but it's teaching people how to do, breathing techniques that really stimulate that relaxation response and have health benefits and have well-being benefits. And I think it gives an individual a sense of control over, something that they can do, not feeling like the stress is out of their control. So I think I spend really the majority on all of that and talk common sense about supplements and herbs and talk about sleep, all of those basic lifestyle factors.
And what I like about that is it's kind of like building a toolkit, if you will, and you've got lots of options to consider toward the common denominator, the goal of, healing. What does that mean? Well, it means that right out of the box, we're not going to jump first and foremost and only to that prescription medication. There might be over-the-counter, non-hormonal options for specific symptoms that get the job done but don't require, systemic use of prescriptions. Or said another way, there's nothing wrong with taking a prescription antidepressant for hot flashes for a period of time. If these are, life-modifying hot flashes, you can't get through the day at work or through your life without, sweating profusely or feeling extremely uncomfortable when you sleep. You know, that's one of many, though, options that are equally weighted, if you will, in the health toolkit. And once again, like you said, I love it, the patient is in control. And in a time of life when we probably do, and I did, feel out of control.
Right.
So let's focus in now on some of the key areas for prevention, because like you said up front, we all know this time of life as women is coming. But for many reasons, not just for the perimenopausal time of life, we need to worry about bone health and heart health and keeping a positive attitude and a lot of really good back to basics sort of tips, if you will. Let's talk more about those preventative ideas that'll help us sail through a little bit more gracefully menopause.
I think probably the biggest thing that women can do and focus on is really preventing metabolic disease, which really is sort of the precursor to type 2 diabetes. And that's really what's exploded in our country over the last three decades. And that's what, women are most likely going to die of is cardiovascular disease. And so it comes to, what I said right before this question, with eating real food, a whole foods diet that's balanced with fruits and vegetables and whole grains and fish and nuts and seeds. And then, exercise. Exercise is medicine, so is diet. It always sort of takes the back seat to prescription medications. Exercise increases the number of receptors that your cells have to let glucose in. Exercise helps strengthen your bones. And, after menopause, when you lose that bone density, it's sort of too late. The key time is when you're young and building the maximum bone density that you can. Heart health, again, is tied to metabolic disease. In terms of a positive mood, I think a lot of that comes from how do you deal with your stress and feeling how you feel about things. If you do feel like you're in control of what's going on, you're doing that, you're following something that feels true to you. And that you're mindful about, I think mindfulness is an excellent thing to explore as well.
And this is also a time to reach out and become more connected with social contacts, perhaps spiritual contacts, people that will allow you to pour your heart out, allow you to explore this new part of the journey and how you fit into it. Think about nature, the universe, and how for generations this time has been experienced, and we have sort of a sisterhood through the generations. I love that. I love that concept. It, again, perhaps will challenge our thinking and help, in a healthy way, help us reinvent ourselves. And I think that's a great sort of a characteristic for people that are on top of a positive attitude all through life. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. And I think, from the day we're born, we are aging. This is part of the life cycle, part of the aging process, and different parts of that life cycle bring you different things. And I think during this time to sort of appreciate the depth of experience you've had, the wisdom that came with that, and, for many, many women, they still have a third of their life to live, and what that next third will bring and what they would like to do with that.
And for all you gentlemen out there who may be listening, you're not off the hook. We look to you for positive reinforcement. Even though this is not a personal experience for you, your words of kindness and support, your actions, sometimes just your presence is all that's needed, not to fix the situation, but to support and validate that we're still worthwhile in your lives and we get better with age, just like you do. So there's a call to action for the gentleman out there. Well, Dr. Stevenson, we're in the final moments of our show. I want to ask you a little bit more about sleep, and then we'll go to where we can find out more about your work at UC.
Sure. So in terms of integrative approaches to sleep, I think one of the main things is this concept that we do not go to sleep. We do not will ourselves to sleep. It's really more of a letting go of consciousness. And I think that is helpful. I've had sleeping problems on and off at different types and different times in my life. But it's this idea of letting go. And so many people are in bed with their laptop, doing work, watching TV, reading, and all of that, and they take all of that to bed with them and then can't fall asleep. So I think that's key, and having a time of, you know, if it's a half hour, an hour before bed, where it's really sort of your own personal downtime. And that may be different, you know, if that's journaling for someone or a bath or reading a book, some sort of downtime to wind your mind down.
I would also add, how about a cool bedroom? Because yes, the body's own natural melatonin levels, which help us get to sleep, rise in cooler temperatures. So even though we tease about hot flashes requiring a fan or a cool room, guess what? That's a good concept all through life, and easier to do, perhaps, than we realize. And also, how about deep breathing? You think that might be a good tip for falling asleep?
Yes, just even, count 5 seconds in and count 10 seconds out, 5 seconds in, 10 seconds out for a couple of times, and that can really help stimulate that relaxation response.
Fabulous. I'm thinking of the Serta sheep that I see on the side of the 18-wheelers. We're out of time. Where can we go? Where can our listeners go for more information about your work, Dr. Stevenson?
So the University of Cincinnati Center, it's brand new. It's a joint effort between UC Health and the College of Medicine. We are starting clinically in Westchester April 15th, and you can call 475- and it's wellness, WLNS, for an appointment. And we have, many wellness providers, in addition to myself. We have massage and acupuncture and reflexology and yoga and Pilates and Tai Chi. And we expect to expand to other areas in the next year or two.
So. Awesome, and we wish you every success. And tell us quickly, please, the area code and the number again.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's 513-475-9567, and it's wellness, WLNS.
Got it. My thanks to our guest tonight, Dr. Stephanie Stevenson, for being with us and talking about integrative medicine and menopause. I'd like to wrap up our show with a quote of the week. And it's about respect. And this is from Lawrence Stern. And I quote, "Respect for ourselves guides our morals. Respect for others guides our manners," end quote. And I'm going to do a shout out to my three lovely granddaughters in Needham, Mass., who are all very mannerly these days. And I'm loving it. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Please visit my website online at rxintegrativesolutions.com for a free library of health-related articles that I've written just for you. And please tune in again next week at this same time to hear Ann Heron, the curator of Lloyd Library in Cincinnati, Ohio, who's going to be talking with us about medicinal herbs on the next edition of Your Holistic Health. You are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m., on Faith and Friends Radio for your holistic health.